hallelujah that we can sing that Christ done it all for me. Amen. And we can take great comfort that, can't we? Because the mighty promises of God and everything that we have in God, and all the songs we sing, the word, God's word we read, it brings us great comfort, and we are encouraged in every way. And so tonight I want to speak about comfort, that God offers comfort to all, doesn't he? Through the promise of his word, and through the encouragement of other believers, where we can help one another, uplift one another, bring comfort, and console each other in many different ways. And right throughout life, many times that I'm sure we've all experienced that, a time in life or any situations come up, that there's a real time, isn't there, where we just need comforting and need encouraging. And that happens a lot, I'm sure, to a lot of us, where we just need to be reassured, don't we? Because often, you know, the flesh is weak, and we just don't hang on to the things of God probably the way we should. And we do get a little bit low in spirit, and someone will come along and speak a real great word, an encouraging word, or a phone call, or a message an email or something. I'll send some great these captions and all that sort of stuff, and they just lift your spirits up. And so it's great to have that reassurance of that. And so that's my message tonight, of God's reassurance of our hope and here in him. And if this wasn't our belief, well, we just wouldn't be here tonight, would we, if we didn't have that hope that God is with us. And speak about comfort then. The word of God speaks quite a bit about comfort. And Job, we all know the story of Job. Who could be comforting more than Job? He lost everything, his whole family and all his possessions and belongings. Probably wouldn't have meant a lot to him in many ways, but when he lost his whole family, I'm sure he needed really consoling and lifted up. So in Job it says, friends should comfort one another. What are friends for if we can't help one another, encourage one another in that way? In Isaiah 40, it says, God comforts us. And in Matthew, God's promises to comfort those who mourn. What's that come out of? Matthew what? Where Jesus speaks the Beatitudes, yeah. Wonderful, all those promises. The who people. God promises to those who. And we all want to be that who people, don't we? Who will receive God's blessing in every way. Okay, and Jesus has... God's Holy Spirit is our comforter. Where's that come from? Do anyone know? No, God's Holy Spirit is our comforter. From John. John 14:16. And Jesus has overcome the world's world's troubles. He's the one that can overcome the world's problems too, if we just look to him. But in John again, 16:33, and another reference, God comforts those who are hurting. And that comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3-11. And another one here from Thessalonians. Christians should comfort each other instead of tearing each other apart. We should, the word is here for us to take and to learn from and to there. And as it says, we should be a comfort, a blessing, and an encouragement to one another. And the last one, Revelation 21, it says, all pain will end. So there's some mighty promises of comfort there in the scripture. But tonight I just want to share from 2 Corinthians. from 2 Corinthians and some few scriptures out of 3, 4 and 5 also. But so we hang on to the promises of God that he will always be with us and sustain us, don't we? We always know and we expect and we hope and we pray that God will be our strength. Amen. And so tonight, in the as we see here in the book of Corinthians, in the midst of many things, as was with the Apostle Paul, attested many times, gave testimony many times how God just sustained him and delivered him through many trials and tribulations. And so we see here in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3, where the subheading is where it says here, God offers comfort to all. And the verse 3 says, all praise to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. Amen. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. You can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. So when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your benefit and salvation. For when God comforts us, it is so that we in turn can be an encouragement to you. And it goes on to say, then you can patiently endure the same things that we suffer. And we are confident that you share in the suffering, you will also share God's comfort. And I'll just read on a little bit here. In verse 9, where Paul was going through all these troubles, and he says, we were crushed and completely overwhelmed, and we thought we would never live through it. And verse 9 says, in fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we learned not to rely on ourselves, but on God who can raise the dead. And verse 10 also, Paul draws upon this and says, and he did deliver us from the mortal danger, and we are confident that he will continue to deliver us. He will rescue us because you are helping by praying for us. And as a result, many will give thanks to God because so many God's people's prayers for our safety has been answered. So Paul, we see there again that he had the confidence to believe that through the power of prayer that God would deliver him. And he drew upon that resource there, and he was able to just say, even though he said, in fact, we expected to die, but he says, as through that, we learnt to rely on that God who can raise the dead. He drew his strength. So Paul, as we see, he was not slow in giving thanks and praise and upholding the source that brings the comfort, and that God is our comfort. Paul was able to really stand on that. And as we see there about the comfort, the consolation and encouragement that we receive. They're two very important ingredients, aren't they, in our Christian walk. That we receive consolation, we can console others, can't we? As it says, as we are encouraged, we can give back that encouragement in return to other peoples. We can pass all these things on in the time of need. So it is the Lord our God who brings comfort in every situation because of what we have received, is what God's given to us. We can, in return, pass that back onto others. And just over in chapter 2 there, there in verse 14, where it speaks here about being ministers of the new covenant in verse 14, where Paul says, "But thanks be to God who made us his captives and leads us along in God's triumphal procession. Now wherever we go, he uses us to tell others about the Lord and to spread the good news like a sweet perfume." And he goes on to say, "Our lives are a fragrance presented by Christ the God." And he says, "But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are differently by those being saved and by those who are perishing." And we know that in your witnessing, in your own lives and testimony, you know, that fragrance, some want to smell it, some don't want to inhale it, do they? They reject it. But there, so Paul says, well, that's who we have to be, that we are a fragrance presented by Christ the God, and we are to share that all around. And so Paul goes on to say here, "To those who are perishing, we are a fearful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume." And who? And the question is asked there, "And who is adequate for such a task as this?" Who is adequate? Well, every one of us are, I'm sure, that we are able to do this task as we just put our trust in God. There. And the question in 2:16 there is asked, "And who is adequate for such a task?" And the answer is given in chapter 3 and verse 5, where it says, "It is not that we think we can do anything of lasting value by ourselves. Our only power and success comes from God." I said a moment ago, Paul was not slow in upholding his God, giving God all the praise, the glory, and he knew where his strength came from, because he had his total dependence on God, put his trust in God and looked to him. He knew where his strength came from. And he said, "It's nothing of me, nothing of ourselves. My strength comes from God." He says in the verse 4, "We are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ." That's a powerful scripture there, that Paul. And Paul goes on to speak about that there in verse 7 of chapter 3. He goes on to speak here about the glory of the covenant, and there, that we are the recipients of this system, this new covenant. And we, as we know, the old system of the law, the old covenant, was etched in stone, but it led to death. Yet it all began with such glory, because God delivered that to Moses, and Moses came down and delivered that, and we see there, it tells us how God's glory just shone upon Moses, and it says there that the people couldn't bear to look at his face, even though the glory of God was fading on him. And so there we see that about this, but as we see with the Old Testament law, there was nothing wrong with the law. On the contrary, the law of the Old Covenant, which was given at in Sinai, it was in no way bad or evil. And Paul, he speaks in glowing terms about it as being holy, righteous, good and spiritual. The only evil was in the hearts of the people, wasn't it? Who brought condemnation and death upon themselves through their lawless deeds and transgressions. And to us, what's it say that was written in our hearts, wasn't it? Come to that in a moment. But so Paul here, he's speaking about the ministry, being ministers of the new covenant. We're all capable of that. in terms of title, we're not all called ministers, are we? But we are all able to minister. Everyone here tonight that I know is here is able to minister the Word of God. And because, you know, we're all born-again believers, and God expects us to be able to testify and to speak about the good of what He has done in our lives. And so it's been inscribed in our hearts. And so Paul, we see, he is applying the word ministry to the Spirit that gives life. And so the comparison here for us, that whereas the law was written on stone, now we have the Spirit to which it's been given, has been written on our hearts. It says that in chapter 3 and verse 3. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ prepared by us. It is not written, not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on stone, but on human hearts. It's in our spirit, it's in our heart. And so that was the message there that Paul was reinforcing there with the people. That in this new covenant message, it's the Spirit that gives us life, isn't it? It's the Spirit of God. And to those who minister this new covenant that Jesus offers in, the promises is that we can be bold in proclaiming it. It says that here in verse 12 of chapter 3. Since this new covenant gives us such confidence, we can be very bold, it says. Not just bold, it says we can be very bold because we have the presence and the power of the Spirit of God that brings life, that gives life, is within us. And it says, goes on to say, we are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory fading away. But the promise there that tells us that you know, that of an unbelieving person, that veil will be lifted. And we often say ourselves, you know, that it wasn't until the light went on or that veil was taken away. We didn't see with clear eyes, did we, of just what was before us or behind us there. But the promise here is that, and as it says, but the people's minds were hardened, and even to this day, when the old covenant is being read, a veil covers their mind, so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in who? Jesus, as it says here. Only by believing in Christ. It's only Christ that can unblock and release the power and His Spirit, that faith that comes through believing. It's only Christ that can do that. Okay. So as it says there, and it's the same today, that the people's minds were hardened, and even today, as we know, people's hearts are very hard, aren't they? And it seems just to be a commonplace thing in the world today, that wherever we go, that people just don't want to hear, do they? If you mention Lord, they back away, or God, you know, they stiffen up or something, and they just don't want to hear anything about it. So we just have to keep pressing in and pushing on and into the things of God there. And there. But as it's here, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, then the veil is taken away. It's only Christ who can remove that veil. And verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, He gives us what? Liberty. There is freedom. Amen. In the things of God. So we take great comfort that when we turn our hearts toward Christ, He is the one who sets us free. And we have that freedom just to pray, to worship, come before God in the way that we do. And there. So Paul, in chapter 4, he sees us as a very special people, that we are treasures in perishable containers. And so since God in his mercy has given us this wonderful ministry, we never give up. We never give up. And that's part of the message that I want to encourage you with tonight, you know, that we never give up, because Christ never gave up, did he? Jesus never gave up. He didn't walk away. He could have, but he didn't. He done it all for us. And so here, the encouragement to us, we've got this wonderful opportunity, this wonderful opportunity, stuck for a word. But, you know, God has invested so much in us, and he's given us wonderful privilege, the word I'm looking for, as to be the ones who are able to be partakers in this wonderful ministry that God has given us. And because of what Jesus done on the cross, that's why Paul is saying that we should never give up in that. There. And so, okay, so there, but I, as Paul was speaking about all this ministry, I just want to move on to a couple of other things. As we know, Paul seemed to get himself in a lot of trouble because he was so full on for Christ, and he didn't back off in any shape or form, and he was one who never gave up, because that was part of his powerful preachment, you know, that endurance race to go, reach toward the goal, press on in fight of everything. And Paul says, in the midst of all these troubles, in verse 8 of chapter 4, I love this part, he said, we're pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we keep getting up again and keep going. Through suffering, these bodies of ours constantly share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may all be also be seen in our body. We probably wouldn't want to suffer like Paul did, but he sums it all up. He says, we're pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. You know, we didn't shrink away. He said, we're perplexed. We're wondering what's happened, but we don't give up and quit. We're hunted down, but God is always there. He said, we get knocked down, we get up again. We know Paul was whipped and beaten and imprisoned and all those sorts of things many times. But here, again, he just testifies this is what we do for Christ, to getting the gospel through. And so Paul keeps on ministering in that way. In verse 13, he says, but we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believe in God, so I speak. And I suppose that's a great verse for us all to take on board, because I believe in God and so I speak. And that's what Christ not demands but commands us to do. Because of your faith in me, go and tell others, go and share. And we've learned a lot about that in our courses, about, you know, walking across the room, sharing. We learned only a few weeks ago, you know, just how easy it is, how simple, if we share our faith and be real and not try to be something or be the people who we are not, but just to be real people. But Paul gives us that encouragement. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith. And as he said, I believe in God, and that's why I speak, and I'm not going to back off. In verse 16, again, Paul just reinforces his belief. He said, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying and our spirits are being renewed every day, for our present troubles are quite small. Paul didn't think they were anything. He says, all these things I've been in, they're quite small compared with the glory of what God's done in my life, compared to what God can do. And They are quite small. And he says they won't last very long. And he has this reassurance. Yet they produce for us an immeasurable great glory that will last forever. These things are going to remain in his heart forever. And so we can see right now, rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen, for the troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Amen? And just share another little scripture here in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 6. And it's, and Paul says here, he has this reassurance, that comfort that only comes from God, and that reassurance. And he says, so we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. That is why we live believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these bodies, for then we will be at home for the Lord. So that's Paul's reassurance there. And in verse 14, he says, whatever we do, it is because Jesus Christ's love comforts us. Jesus Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for everyone, and we also believe that that we have all died to the old life we used to live. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And that should be our song, as it was Paul there. For me to live is Christ, amen? And verse 15 says, he died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they will live to please Christ, who dies and was raised for them. So we have that wonderful reassurance. We have that comfort there that God is with us, that God is for us, and he is true to his word. And finally, in verse 6, Paul says, he makes this plea, and he says, as God's partners, we beg you not to reject this marvelous message of God's greatness, great kindness. For God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Who can say amen to that? It was that time in your life, at just the right time, that very point of time, that right moment, that you said, yes, I want you, Lord, to be Lord of my life. At just the right time I heard you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, God is ready to help you right now. Today is the day of salvation. And that's the message that we need to just speak out and to share with non-believers. People who don't know Christ. Everyone needs the Lord, don't they? Amen? We all need God. And it should be an urgency on our heart, as it was on the apostles' heart, that you get the message through. No matter what, no matter if you get criticized, no matter if you get pushed, you're buffeted, or whatever, I think we get off very lightly in this country, don't we? That we have at the present time, that's something that should always be on our hearts, to pray that this freedom will always be so in this nation of Australia, that we have the freedom to speak out. And wherever we go, we have our the Bible studies in our homes, we have meetings all over the place, and we have that freedom. Yet many, many countries, people just don't have that freedom. They get their throats, they're martyred for their faith. And that's really sad. And that's something we always should be praying for. You know, the people die every day for Christ. People die. We just don't see it, and we don't hear a lot about it, do we? But you read in some of these publications that are circulated around just how many people die for Christ. And it's so sad, and yet we don't hardly mention it. And a lot of people probably don't want to know about it, but it happens. And so Paul was he was one of these mighty warriors for God who was just keen and zealous to have the message go forth in every direction and with that power and authority. And Paul's heart was, you know, for us to have that, to take that on board. So I trust tonight that that'll be an encouragement to us, you know, that we press on because of this, for the sake, for the glory of God, this ministry that we're all being given, you know, that we can be all partakers, we can be ministers of the gospel, we can minister to each other, we can encourage one another, we can comfort one another, and that's God's heart for us, and that should be on everyone's heart. You know, we're people of God, aren't we, you know? Are we brothers and sisters in Christ? We are. And that's how it should be. We don't want to hurt each other. We don't want to cripple each other. We want to uphold each other, encourage one another, comfort one another. We laugh together. We cry together. All those sorts of things. That's a part of the package, isn't it, of being, you know, people of God, people of Christ. So just trust that just ministered to us tonight. So, Father God, just let us stand and we come to a close. If the musicians are going to send us out with a song, we will. But, Lord God, we just give you thanks, Lord, for your mighty power, your mighty presence in our lives. Lord, we give you thanks, Lord, for the apostles who paved the way. They followed your mighty example, Lord. You told them to go out and to preach and teach and reach to all they meet. So, Lord, we just ask and pray that we'll have that heart, have that desire, that zeal to reach, to teach and to preach through your word to whomever we meet, Lord. Lord, no matter what, whatever comes against us, Lord, that we will stand strong. We will stand strong in the day of trouble, that we will not shrink away from what you have laid before us. So, Father, we just pray that this ministry that you've so wonderfully bestowed upon us, Lord, that we will be worthy of our calling, Lord. We will be worthy, we'll stand strong in you and reach out with hope and vigor and zeal. So, Lord, just take us into this week now, Father. Lord, that we might Just look to you this week with an even greater desire, Father. Lord, we again just thank you that for the wonderful day that we've had. Our service this morning, the word, Father, our praise, our prayer, our worship, Lord. Again, we just give you thanks. We give you all the glory, Lord, because of what you've done. Lord, you comfort us so we can comfort others. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.